May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angels to his bondservant. And I was just thinking again today about the whole issue of a bondservant and what it means to be a bondservant. We've talked about this before. You may have studied this on your own. Again, in the year of Jubilee, slaves were set free. But if they had encountered such kindness and affection and love from the one that they served, they could choose voluntarily to continue to serve that person and to please them as their number one purpose in life for the rest of their lives. And there would be a hole bore in their ear, and they'd wear a ring so that in their ear so that everybody would know that the person, their master, tried to honor the year of Jubilee decree, but this person was a volunteer prisoner. A volunteer prisoner of his heart or her heart to serve and please the one whom they've come to love. And so we've said that a bondservant is a volunteer prisoner of love, someone who's encountered love and that love has won their heart and captivated their heart to the point where they have voluntarily chosen to love that person expressed in pleasing them forever. There are no outs. You don't get another shot at it. This is a very serious decision. It's interesting to me, that's what the Shulamite maiden in the Song of Solomon. You know, there are three players in the Song of Solomon. Solomon himself, who represents Jesus. But then there's the bride of Christ. And there are two elements of that. The daughters of Jerusalem, those who are kind of just cruising through. There's a love for Jesus, but they're sort of passive. And then there's the Shulamite, the hidden ones, who've decided that they don't want to just cruise through, making their way to heaven. They want to desperately go after him and his heart and be a dwelling place for him and for him to be their dwelling place. And if you go back and read the Song of Solomon, that happened because there was an encounter with the love of Jesus. And as a result of that encounter with the love of Jesus, there's this discovery, oh my goodness, your love is better than anything I've ever experienced. And then the choice to be a bondservant, take me away with you and let's run. I want to live my life being taken away to that place where the hidden ones live in pursuit of your heart, who have chosen as a way of life to be loved by you and to live my life to bring pleasure to your heart. An interesting thing that in Revelation talks about John being a bondservant. There are a number of bondservants that are identified in the New Testament. There's a couple of them, like Tychicus, and one more that's not that well known, but people like Simeon in Luke chapter 2, Paul, James, Peter, Jude, and of course John, and Moses in Revelation 15 is referred to as a bondservant, and it actually says in Philippians 2:7 that Jesus chose to be a bondservant. Of course he did. He says in John 14, he went to the cross because he wanted the whole world to know how much he loved his father. It was all about love for him. But there's a couple of places that are interesting to me. One, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, this is what Paul says about himself. Because we know like Peter and Paul and James and John, I mean, these guys were apostles. And in the world today, that kind of seems to be the top thing. I went to a conference recently, and there was like this sort of identification of apostles and God's raising up apostles and their churches. If you're an apostle, your church is an apostolic center, not just a local church. It was wonderful stuff. But it's like in terms of God's elevation, that's like the highest thing you can get in terms of authority and influence and impact. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The thing that he identified himself first and foremost was not as an apostle. It was a bondservant. That was the most important title that he had. That he had chosen to be one, to live his life set apart radically pursuing the heart of Jesus. Peter, I think it's in 1 Peter 1. If it's not, I'll turn to 2 Peter 1. It says in 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But hopefully, Lord. Yeah. Well, 2 Peter 1 says this, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. There are places in the scripture where John is referred to as an elder. He's referred to as an apostle. He's referred to as a prophet. But what was the most important term for him, this one, this lover of Jesus, this beloved disciple, was that he was a bondservant. Now here's the lure, and this is what the Lord was speaking to me really yesterday, but I gave a different word. He said, Chuck, this is the lure. This is the reward of a bondservant. You see, people are constantly confronted. The way Jesus brings a person to deeper surrender, the way Jesus confronts a person with whether or not they're going to be taken, whether they're going to be controlled by the love of Christ, whether they're going to live life at a radical place of obedience and surrender, is he always encounters us with love. There's some fresh encounter with the love of Christ. And the purpose of that isn't just to show kindness to us and to delight in us in that moment, though he does do that. But he comes to us wanting to captivate our hearts, captivate us to become volunteer prisoners to a different kind of life that's radically set apart in surrendered pursuit of him. That's what he's always doing. I pray a lot harvesting. He's harvesting hearts. He's always harvesting us to a deeper and deeper place. And as he begins to do that in our lives and that we encounter his love in that place, it brings us to a deeper place of brokenness and surrender. The lure that he holds before us to keep going, the reward, is what he says in Revelation 1. The word revelation, if you remember, means to unveil, the unveiling. The unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. The lure to live a life of a bondservant that the love of Christ awakens in us, awakens that desire, oh God, I want more. This is amazing. I want more, Lord. Well, the lure is that I get to live my life in a place where I get to experience the unveiling of Jesus. That I live my life, as it were, behind the veil, with Jesus at a radical level, an extravagant level, just revealing his heart and his beauty to me again and again. And see, that's the great lure of Christianity. Isn't the anointing to do signs and wonders, though that comes with the life that Jesus lives, as you grow more and more in union with him. But the great lure is just his presence. Again, that verse, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What's the pleasures of his beauty? And the real lure and the real reward that captivates us to go forward as a bondservant, as a volunteer slave of Christ, Paul says about himself, is that as a bondservant, it's the bondservants get to experience the extravagant unveiling of the person of Jesus. And that's the great reward in all Christianity. He's our great prize. He's our pearl of great price. Remarkably, we're his pearl of great price. So my prayer for us, for me, is that God, may the most important thing anybody could ever say about me, may it be true, is that I'm a bondservant. Not a priest or a bishop or an archbishop or any of that stuff, but I'm a bondservant. Because the most exciting part of Christianity, the greatest reward of all, is that Jesus, this one who loves us, and who loves to reveal himself to us, unveils himself to me, to you. That's my great reward. That's the greatest and glorious temptation of all, is the unveiling of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.